Cookbook of Epicurus by Jim Miller, starring Keith Floyd. Chapter 3, Lipperman and Chicken.
Welcome once again, dear reader, to the Cookbook of Epicurus. And I'm here in my little kitchen in Rome with my faithful scribe Felix, ready to tell you something about the seasonings and spices we Romans use. Now, as you probably know, the absolutely most important seasoning is liquamen. I personally can't get enough of the stuff. I would always prefer to use it instead of salt. What's liquamen in Greek, Felix?
Fish pickles.
Ah, fish pickles. That sounds good. Put it down in Greek then, Felix. That's got so much more style. Fish pickle is the true taste of current Roman cuisine. And if you use salt instead, you won't get the authentic taste. And naturally, with my reputation, I only use the best. It's imported from Leptis Magna in North Africa. But you could use Spanish stuff, or even the fish pickle substitute I'm about to show you how to make. Obviously, you won't get to make the real industrial product. The fish pickle factories in Africa take the entrails, blood, and gills of mackerel, salt them, and leave them to ferment in the sun in big vats.
Yeah.
When the compound has liquefied, they filter it through woven baskets and bottle it, sometimes mixed with herbs and vinegar. I'd swap a bottle of 100-year-old wine for decent liquamen. They tell me in Spain they use tuna fish, but the process is exactly the same. What about back home in Greece, Felix? Did you have fish pickle?
Well, it's not really a Greek thing, Master. There was a similar sort of fish-flavored sauce which came from yeast, from Chrysi, I believe.
Chrysi? What's that in Latin?
Indochina, you call it.
Well, there you go, reader. If you live in one of the eastern provinces, you could probably use this Indochinese fish sauce as well. Now, you can use fish pickle in your cooking, or just as a relish to sprinkle over finished dishes. But either way, no kitchen can do without it. So, here's how to make your own. For a jarful, you need 3 ounces of sardines or tuna fish, and you mash the fish quite finely. Then you just mix it in with all of the following ingredients. To get this down very clearly, Felix, 1 pinch of each of the following. Mustard seed, parsley, and thyme.
Mustard, parsley, thyme.
And either celery seed or lovage.
Celery seed.
Add 1/2 crushed clove of garlic, then 1 tablespoon of white wine, 1 of vinegar, and 1 of olive oil.
Garlic, wine, vinegar, and oil.
Finally, 1/2 teaspoon of honey. These are all things you'll have in the kitchen. Mix thoroughly and put in a jar. It's ready to use straight away. You'll find, after a fortnight in the coldest place in your house, it'll start to spoil. But if you've any Roman blood in you at all, you'll get a taste for this stuff, and it isn't going to last 2 weeks. Of course, the best stuff ever came from Pompeii. Do you remember when we went to Pompeii, Felix? That was a boring holiday, wasn't it?
No, it was fantastic. I'd love to have gone underneath that hill of ash and seen all those dead bodies lying there just as they were when the mountain erupted. Rich women lying with gladiators, drunks in the taverns caught forever in a bed with their floozies. All lights under that hill.
Don't be ghoulish, Felix. I've always suspected that before you sold yourself into slavery, you were a grave robber. The one good thing I did get from that holiday, though, was 2 bottles of vintage liquamen. Unfortunately, in the hurry to get away from my wife in Campania, I left them behind. Still, I only bought them as antiques. They were 40 years old and the liquamen would be poisoned by now. There is a fair chance my wife will open them and use them just to spite me. Fingers crossed anyway. Still, both dishes I'm making today use fish pickle, so here's a jar I've already made. Have a whiff of that, Felix. What do you think?
Oh! The most disgusting smell I've ever smelt, sir.
You Greeks have very unsophisticated palates. That's the smell of culinary poetry, boy. If Homer had known about fish pickle, he'd have penned a few lines about it in that Iliad book of his.
I think he did write something about the inside of Cerberus's kennel.
Yes, well. If you, dear reader, are a non-Roman and find that fish pickle raw is an acquired taste, trust me. When you use it in cooking, you'll find that in the finished dish, you don't get any fishy smell or taste, just a wonderful savoury edge to it. And you won't need to use salt, which will save you a few denarii, what with the way salt prices seem to go up and down every month. Now, for today's dishes, I'm going to use fish pickle in both of them. Ready, Felix?
Yes, sir.
The first dish is a nut omelette, and I'm just heating up the saucepan on the stove with a thin layer of olive oil on it. Use a metal pan, a little deeper than normal when you're making omelettes, and when you're at the market, by the way, ask for an agularis. Now I'm whipping the eggs. I'm using 4 to feed 2 or 3 people, and I'm mixing the eggs with 1/2 cup of milk. As usual, this is goat's milk, but cow's milk would do just as well if you're not in Italy. Right, leave that to one side. Hand me over those almonds, Felix, would you?
That was a good holiday, too.
Beg your pardon?
When we went to Petra, that's where the almonds come from.
Petra wasn't a holiday, Felix. I was running Emperor Trajan's...
Hail Caesar.
Oh, Hail Caesar. I was running Emperor Trajan's...
Hail Caesar.
Hail Caesar. Look, it's enough of all that. Get on with it, would you please? I was running the Emperor's kitchens whilst he conquered Jordan.
Petra means rocky in Latin, you know, because the whole city's carved out of a mountain. Those Christians there told me their chief holy man, a saint, was called Peter. That means rocky.
Well, so long as they're led by someone called Rocky, they're not going to take over the empire, are they? Anyway, back to your quill, slave. Okay, reader, here are the nuts that I've just finished grinding. My doctor Hector's put me on a no-pine nuts diet, so these are roasted almonds. Hector's decided that a combination of red wine and pine nuts are responsible for the shocking headaches I've been getting in the morning since I moved up to Rome. To be honest, I've been on the diet a week and haven't noticed any difference. I'm still getting the headaches. Pass me the bottle, Felix. I think I'll have a quick slurp to help me grind.
There's no possibility at all in any way that it's not the pine nuts but the wine that's killing you, sir.
Well, there's a thought. You think maybe I'm putting too much water in my wine, then?
No, no, Master. I was only joking. Have a large one. It's the only thing that's still gluing you together.
Oh, you're too kind, Felix. Thank you. Fine. So, that's a quarter cup of almonds, and I'm mixing it in a bowl with a small spoon of honey.
Honey.
A pinch of pepper.
Pepper.
And a large spoon of delicious fish pickle.
Fish pickle.
In go the eggs and milk, and give it a really good whisk. Into the hot pan, and that's it. That will take about 5 minutes to set. Then you just take it to the table and serve it by turning it upside down.
Turning it upside down.
Now for our main course, Numidian chicken, which is our name for what Greeks like Felix call guinea fowl. If you live in the north of the empire, you'll have trouble getting them, so you can just use a small chicken, which is just as well, as that's what Felix brought me back from the market today. I would have thought a slave specifically trained as a scribe would know that Numidian chicken meant guinea fowl, but apparently not.
I thought you meant chicken from Africa. None of the stalls in Trajan's market, Hail Caesar, said they had any, so I did my best. I thought a chicken from Africa would taste the same as a chicken from Italy, didn't I?
Felix, there are shops in Trajan's market...
Hail Caesar.
There are shops in Trajan's market...
Hail Caesar.
There are shops in the market which sell nothing but guinea fowl. By the way, reader, if you do get to visit Rome, do be sure to drop in at the new market the Emperor's built. It's an absolutely splendid state-of-the-art mall type affair, just north of the old Forum. You can't miss it. It's directly behind the massive new column he's put up to boast about his wars in Dacia. You'll guarantee the total shopping experience. Go to the fifth floor. That's the top, and it's devoted exclusively to fish. They even have a huge fish pond directly connected to the aqueduct for fresh fish, and another one connects to the port at Ostia for saltwater fish. Marvellously clever. Right, if I did have a guinea fowl, I would part boil it. But farm-bred chicken can be roasted as is. I've had this one in the bottom of the oven for about an hour. I'll just check to see if it's done. Well, looks nice and brown. When you do this at home, keep the roasting pot covered for the first 20 minutes, or you'll overdo the breast. But here I've used a new invention of my own, which you'll probably find a little too expensive. It's a sheet of silver I've had specially made. I got it beaten out very finely by a blacksmith to about 2 foot square, until it's a sort of bendy foil, and I can use it to cover any kind of meat I'm roasting in the oven. Unfortunately, they cost 45 dinars each, so at that price you've got to clean them very carefully after each use. Still, when I get round to selling you, Felix, I can afford about 40 more of them, can't I?
I'm very sure that the idea of the foil will catch on.
Don't be sarcastic, Felix. Now, while the roast is still hot, I'm sprinkling it with pepper and ginger. So you can tell this is a seriously expensive dinner. You already know how dear pepper is, but have you seen the price of ginger? It's extortion. Obviously, being a celebrated gastronome, I can swing a special deal with the spice merchants. But if you ask me, the Emperor could sort out this whole spice trade in one move. Invade Arabia.
Invade Arabia? That would be madness, sir.
Nonsense. Every day I look at this map on the wall, Felix, this map of our empire, and what colour is the whole world?
Pink, sir. My favourite.
Exactly. Except for this little bit here, Arabia. It's infuriating. We're supposed to be the mother of all empires.
And if you invade Arabia, you'll have the mother of all rebellions. Look at the trouble you've got with the Jews.
True.
And everyone knows the Jews and the Arabs are like blood brothers. In fact, Jews are about the only people the Arabs like.
Yes, they've got similar religions, haven't they?
Sort of. Although the Arabs aren't so devout. They consider the Jews too fundamentalist for them.
Oh, religion, eh? Why can't these foreigners be like us Romans?
And worship 500 different gods without believing in any of them.
Precisely. Religion's only a social thing, after all. It's only there for a bit of a laugh. Besides, we don't have to conquer Arabia. We just send in a small assault force to cut through this desert here like a knife.
A sort of surgical strike.
Yeah, we attack their main religious centre here on the map. Here, Macarabao. Is that in Latin, by the way?
Mecca.
Ah, yes. We enter Mecca, and bingo, we win the lot.
Including the whole spice trade.
Well, as far as I can see, all this stuff, pepper, cinnamon, ginger, cardamom, you name it, they're all grown down there in Arabia. And we're pouring millions of sesterces a year into these Arabs' pockets, because they don't want anything the Romans make except hard cash. Apparently, they're ripping off the Parthians the same way. They've got a stranglehold on the entire world economy. And if it doesn't end there, there'll be a mighty crash. What's Trajan doing conquering...
Hell Caesar.
What's the emperor doing conquering all these goat herd tribes across the Danube when he could grab the entire spice country in Arabia's beyond me? A decent chap, our emperor, but no head for power. Anyway, end of rant. Let's cook.
Hold on.
What?
Can you give me that rant from the top? I missed some of it.
Well, for heaven's sake, you indolent slave.
Only joking, master, only joking. I can assure you I got all of it.
Well, pay attention, then. Okay, chicken doused in pepper and ginger. I'll leave the oven door open to keep it warm and put the cooked omelette down there with it. Now for the sauce. A pinch of the following. Pepper.
Cumin.
Coriander seed. And either rue or rosemary, according to what you have in stock.
Rosemary.
Into an oiled pan it goes with a handful of almonds and half a dozen... chopped stone dates. Wonderful smell of the Orient. Now, in goes a few drops of wine vinegar, a spoon of honey, and finally, the magic ingredient, a spoon of fish pickle.
Fish pickle.
Before it comes to the boil, I'm going to thicken it with starch. You can use any kind of flour. I'm using leftover pastry, which I've ground under the rolling pin. I just stir that in and leave it to simmer. Out comes the Numidian chicken from the oven, and by the time I've sliced it into manageable portions, the sauce will be ready to simply pour over it. Served, of course, with a nut omelette, and I think a light white wine mixed with spring water. And as soon as you finish that last sentence, nip out and get some more wine in, okay? I've no guests coming this evening, so I'm going to waste this delicious food on you. Not that you'd ever repay me.
Oh, I think I could, sir.
How, pray?
Well, I could edit out this rant about the emperor before the book's published. Let me read it back to you. A decent chap... but no head for power.
What? You reckon that's a bit treasonable, do you?
Well, I think there would be a request for you to quietly poison yourself, sir.
Well, it's as good a way to go as any.
But with all the spices you've consumed over your illustrious life, sir, I think perhaps you might not be able to poison yourself. Remember Mithridates of Pontus? He was in such constant fear that his family were trying to poison him that he daily took the concoction known as Mithridatium. It was composed of every herb and spice imaginable, mixed together in minute quantities as an antidote. Then, when his empire fell to his enemies, he actually tried to kill himself with poison, but found he was completely immune to even the most toxic of potions.
Fascinating. What happened next?
Well, sir, he had to fall on his own sword, held steady for him by his most trusted slave.
Yes, I can just imagine who'd volunteer for that job. Get the wine in and get that glint out of your eye. And we'll do that bit of editing after dinner. Salute, readers. See you in the next chapter.
Cookbook of Apicius starred Keith Floyd as Apicius and Alan Francis as Felix. It was written by Jim Miller and produced by Jane Bertou.